communion. What is open communion? Not every church, not every denomination has open communion, but we have open communion every Wednesday night. Jesus said to take communion often. And open communion is no matter what faith you are, no matter how you believe, you're invited to take communion with us. We would love for you to. We don't have any agenda to change you or anything like that, but we would just we just want to invite you to open communion. And I've got a great word for you tonight. And we will try to get out here as close to 8 o'clock as we can. And which way did you go with that? Okay. Okay. Don't worry. You know better than that. If you can't hear me back there, just go. I can raise it up. I can raise it up. God is so good. And as Kelly said, be sure to get some of that food. This was an exceptionally good load, I think, that we got today. Wouldn't you say, sweetie? Good load of stuff. Man, if you like fresh strawberries. Now, where do they get fresh strawberries at this now? Probably from South America or Mexico, because they ain't getting them in Texas right now. I guarantee you that. That stops in about June, right? Amen. Have you got your phone silenced? Would you please do that? And I'm preaching a series of messages called the Try To series. And this message is going right along with that. If we could have the appropriate Bible verse, which is Matthew 6:34 and the New Living Translation. Now, I'll pull it here if I have to. These are the words of Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. The word Christ means anointed one. The word Messiah means, in the Hebrew, means anointed one. And this is what he said. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And my try to is this. Try to live in the present tense in your life. Because most of the people that I know, they're either living in the past or they're living in the future. They're worried about the future. They're upset about the past. And neither one of them is taught in the Word. The Word teaches you, and I'm sharing with you tonight, try to live in the present. Try to make yourself live in the present. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, that's the word of Jesus. How many of you notice from time to time you have trouble? You know, and from time to time we have victories. There will be more victories, more good times, if we can fashion ourselves and make ourselves live in the present tense in our life. And I'll tell you, my counseling sessions have all been on people worried about the future, worried about the past, most of them. Now, there's things that we have that are troubling to us. We know that. These are troubling times. And I don't mean this in a negative way, but if we're living in Matthew chapter 24, Johnny Cash, when I got saved, the year I got saved, he had a song that he was singing called Matthew 24 is Knocking at Your Door. If we believe that is the way, this is going to increasingly get worse as birth pains, this is going to become more painful, come upon a woman. And then all of a sudden, we're going to be with the Lord. And I personally believe in the rapture of the church, which is the catching away of the church. You don't have to believe in that if you to attend here. We won't shove that down your throat, just that there's many verses that prove that this we're going to be raptured out of here. And then things are going to get even worse than that. See? And then we're coming back with the Lord, and he's gonna kill the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. Now, that's some of what's ahead. The thing is, we know, and Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, I told you I was going to be gone. I was going to be killed. I told you. Now, he's told us for the last 2,100 years, this is winding down. Now, whether it's now or not, I think it is. I think there are more Bible verses, some things that's happened with Israel and other things that we are facing the end of things as we know them. But this verse here that I just read is sharing, this is where we should be. We should be living in the present tense. You know, we've got Hebrews 4:7 says this, today, when you hear his voice, today. He didn't say, now you're going to hear from his voice in a week or so. He said, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Yield to what God is saying to you. And God is speaking to every one of us every day. And I hope that you're finding those times. If you get in the word and if you pray the word, and you become and you know the word and you pray the promises in the Bible, you will be hearing his voice. Every morning, we said it this morning, Millie and I say, Lord, we are your children, and you have a right to direct us and correct us. Amen? He does. He has a right to do those things with us. Hebrews 4:7, I'm preaching a message or teaching, try to live in the present tense. That's where your life is. That's where you can change your past and you can change your future if you'll just make yourself. The devil will give you many reasons to be sorrowful about your past. The devil will give you many reasons not to trust the Lord with your future. But live in the present. That's the key. Live in the present with God. Can I get an amen? In 2 Corinthians, the word says this. Today is the day of salvation. Today, present tense, not tomorrow, not yesterday. It's today that you need to be concerned about. Today is when things can change. If you'll learn to cooperate and move with God today, he can change tomorrow and he can heal you of yesterday. Amen? I'm preaching a message. Try to. I do this better on some days than other days. He's okay. I love that kid. That kid's my buddy. Some days I do better than others when something is so terrible. Recently, we had a terrible event in our community. I think it was a week ago Monday. And it's taken me just a little bit of time to get that off of me and to just get into where we are right now. And I hope and pray that you can do that. This is a pertinent, on-time message that will change your life if you can make yourself get it. Now, anybody that wants the notes, I can get you a set of notes. You can hear this message on video. But today is the day of salvation. That word salvation means today is the day God will help you. Don't worry about yesterday. And don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for today is all the problems that we have today. Am I getting through to anybody on that? We have problems, don't we? We don't want problems. We're going to a place where every tear will be wiped away, where there will be no more pain. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more devil tempter. He won't be there where we're about to go. But we've got to get there. And the best way to get there is the way that the manual says to get there. Listen to the word. A long time ago, I began to put the word in me, and then I learned to pray the word and believe the word and confess the word. And I believe that a person that knows the word, John 8:31, 32. If you continue in my word, then you really are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm not saying you won't have trouble. I've had trouble. But you know what? Not like I could have had. I'm outliving every one of my relatives right now. I've already outlived my grandfather and my father, and I plan to outlive a lot of people or go home and be with Jesus. Don't feel bad for me if I get to go home and be with Jesus. Amen. I've got plans. Do you have plans? Say, I got plans. Now, we want to try to live in the present tense in our life, because your past will kill you, make you sick, make you depressed, make you have increased anxiety, and you'll be looking for a pill or somebody to help you out. My therapist is the Holy Ghost and Jesus and my Heavenly Father. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. There's one for you. We have to win this battle. Luke 23:43 says this here. This is Jesus on the cross. There's two other fellas, one on either side of him. One of them said, if you're so great, save yourself and save us. And the other one humbled himself and said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Will you please remember me? And Jesus turned to him before he was dying on the cross, and he said, today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. You know what? If Jesus said it, I believe it. That's good enough for me. And Jesus said a lot of things, a lot of good, and they were all good when it comes to those that are his disciples or his brothers and sisters. Who is my brethren? Those that hear and do the word and the will of my Father. Those are my kinfolk. That's what Jesus said. So today, he said, you will be with me in paradise. Fellows up there, if you'd give me Philippians 3:13. Is everybody's phone pretty low? Philippians 3:13. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it yet. This is Paul speaking. He said, but I focus on this one thing, not six things, one thing. I focus on one thing, forgetting the past. I can remember one time many years ago counseling a dear woman, and she was older than I am now, and she began to describe something that happened to her when she was younger, and she broke down just like it just happened, and it happened many, many decades ago. She just couldn't get over it. The Apostle Paul said this. This is what I did. This is what Paul said, I do. And I'm trying to teach you, Philippians, this is what you need to do. This is the one thing that will work better than anything else. Forgetting the past. It says looking forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. You have got to get over what happened to you. And the best, one of the things that is your aid in getting over the past is don't tell it to everybody. Stop talking about it in Jesus' name. Stop saying it. Stop thinking about it. When you look in the mirror, don't look at yesterday's child of God. Look at today's child of God. Does that make sense to you? I'm telling you, if you dare to get some of this, this is going to change your life. Because you can live in at least three tenses, the past, the present, and the future. And you can worry about things, and I've said this for many years. I started saying this in California when I was a youth pastor. People worry many times about things that never happen. They never happen. Well, I'm afraid my check's not going to come in. I'm afraid they're going to fire me. I'm afraid I'm going to get sick. I'm afraid. It looks like. You know what? We have got to forget the past. In Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, the word says, God Almighty says this, remember not the former things. I'm going to do a new thing. Everybody look at me. God wants to do a new thing in your life. In this service, starting right now, and in the morning, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Everybody say, every morning. Say, my God is an every morning God. He's willing to love me and forget about the past. I said this a lot in recovery. God's not so worried about what you did yesterday. He's concerned about what you're going to do today to change tomorrow and make tomorrow. Because see, a lot of the things that's holding up your blessings is your behavior. Nobody teaching you. You've got to hear this stuff first. This stuff's in your Bible just like it is in mine. And you know what? As I studied this afternoon, there were hundreds of Bible verses on the past, present, and future. And the word points to live in the now. Live right now, and you'll heal the past, and you'll make a better way for the future. Forgetting the past. The Lord said in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, remember not the former things. Forget the former things. Because, sweetheart, I'm doing a new thing in your life. It's going to spring forth. There is nothing that can stop it from springing forth. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be like streams in the desert. It's going to be like wonderful water coming on your life, refreshing you. How many of you could use a little refreshment right now? Amen. Forget the past. I'm doing a new thing in your life. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18 says this, old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. If any person is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passing away. Just as quick as that, you'll just put that away. The number one thing you can do is stop telling everybody about your past and how terrible it was. Smother that out by not talking about it anymore. Don't let people getting you, unless you're in some kind of a special counseling session, which is a good thing. Old things are passed away. If anybody is in Christ, are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? Then you're a new creation. You're becoming new. The old is passing away. How fast? As fast as you will let it. As fast as you can forget it. Don't talk about it. Don't lay awake thinking what happened, what somebody did to you. And I'm not saying that terrible things have not happened to people. They have. I'm saying the number one solution is not a pill or a professor. It's taking hold of the life that Christ gave you and stop zooming in and meditating on the past and who done you wrong. Forget B.J. Thomas. And hey, what do you say? I'm singing the Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song. Stop singing it. Sing It's a New Day. Everybody say It's a New Day. Yes. If anybody is in Christ, you're a new creation, and the power and the possibility of the old, I don't care what happened to you. I forgot so many situations and names of enemies because because I made myself do this, because I believed this was for me, to take control of my life, the control that God gave me. Here's what Jesus said. Anybody that tries to save their life is going to lose it. But anybody that will take their life and present it to me and lay it before me and tell me you can do whatever you want with me, they're going to find their life. They're going to finally, I've buried multitudes of people and never found their life. They just never did get that. They never went somewhere where they would be taught the word. We don't teach doctrine here, and we don't have anything against doctrine, except this is an interdenominational church, and our doctrine is Genesis to the maps. That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less, and we mean it. Most of the people that get behind this pulpit, they mean it. And it's made a difference in my life. I know that I know that I know. If I give myself every morning to doing certain things and feed on the Word of God and meditate on the Word, and when the Word gets bigger than the problem, you're on your way. I had a misfortune, had a little thing come up last year in December, messed up my whole Christmas. I'm still mad at the devil about that. But I told myself as soon as I woke up, I'm fine. I felt fine. Why? Because when you pray the promises, you're going to feel better. You're going to do better. And I finally told them, and they didn't like to hear it. I said, I don't need to be in here anymore. I'm ready to go home, and I feel like you're holding me against my will. And they looked at me. I'd never seen anybody like me. And one girl got me in the elevator. She said, Brother Angelo, there's something different about you. You've been in here like 3 days, and they're talking about letting you go. What is that about you? She didn't have nowhere to go, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up in that elevator. I said, it's Jesus. She began to quiver. Her lip began to, she said, I've been trying to learn about Jesus. And I began to tell her just a simple message with this simple verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, and if they'll open up, I'll come into you. And before we got where we were going on that elevator, she opened her heart and let Jesus in her life. I made one doctor mad up there, didn't I, sweetie? Called my wife trying to get her to turn on me. That didn't work. She said, you're just going to have to put up with him. If he told you he's ready to go home, if I was you, I would open the door and get out of the way. He's going home. Now, if he has to call a lawyer, whatever he has to do, and they let me go. They had dozens and dozens of appointments for me. And I said, I was troubled over that. So you know what the word says to do in your trouble? Cast your burdens upon the Lord because he cares for you. Peter quoted, I believe, Psalm 51. And he said that in 1 Peter chapter 5. And all of a sudden, the main guy thought was going to give me all that. And I love him. He's a great surgeon, the greatest neurosurgeon in Arkansas. He left. And they had nothing. I ain't been back since. Now, if I die tonight, it'll probably be of something else, because I feel great. And that's my testimony. And I forgot all that junk. I forgot what happened to me, except for one thing. That brand new KitchenAid mixer that I bought Millie last year, and they robbed us. That devil robbed me. So I said, you know what? I used to do this all the time. I said, that's going to cost you souls. I'm going to find somebody to lead to Christ. What do you think of that, booger man? Keep talking. Because I read in the Bible that you are on your way, just like everybody else that rejects Christ. You're on your way to the lake of fire, which is the fifth holding prison mentioned in the Bible, and there's nothing you can do about it. So keep talking. I'll write you a song. You're going to the lake of fire. Boom, boom, boom. I hope that's what your real desire. Boom, boom. You know what? What do you got to lose? You know, years ago, when I was a kid, I just asked myself, what do I have to lose? Just believing what the Bible says. And I said, God, is this word something that people should believe? He goes, oh, yeah, son. Oh, yeah. He said, prove me. Test me. And I'm doing pretty good. Perfect? No. That's for the next life. I'm looking forward to it. And I tell the devil, Millie and I, every morning, I mean the Lord, every morning we say, we will, into your hands, we commit our spirit. And we will stay here as long as you want, or if you see fit to take us today. But I'm placing this family in your hands. That's just all there is to it. And well, that's worked for me. If I live till next month, everybody remember, it's my birthday. I'll be 71 years young. Ain't no old to it. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks backward is fit for the kingdom of God. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Don't look back. Force yourself to do something different. Force yourself to try something different. Try the Bible. Try the Word of God. Try the name of Jesus. I promise you, you will not be disappointed in the Lord. And always remember this, we're about to take communion. God ain't near as worried about what you did yesterday as he is concerned about what you're going to do today to make tomorrow better. There's no higher ground than just forget your past and force yourself to learn something new. Force yourself to learn how to live in the here and now. And believe Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember not the former things. I'm doing a new thing in your life, and nothing can stop it except for you. So Jesus said that also. And it was the big problem in the book of Exodus with the Hebrew children that left Egypt. They kept looking back. And it cost them to look back. They just kept looking back. Well, we had better food there. And how in the world can you take care of all of us, Moses? And God took care of them. And all of the older people that left Egypt, God let them all die. And he let their children come into the promised land. That's how he did it. One thing that God doesn't tolerate well is unbelief. And the only way that you can get out of unbelief is become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Let this message burn into your heart. Put up Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. My last thought is, don't worry about the future. See, don't worry about the future. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. And if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. See, when you was in the world and whatever your passion was, you didn't do that halfway. I'm going to tell you, all the meth heads that I know, man, they don't do that halfway. They don't do that halfway at all, do they? Nope. They do it all the way. They'll do whatever. the word says this. To everybody in this room. Anybody that doesn't think this word is for you, please reconsider. Because here's what the Lord is saying to you. If you'll seek me like you've sought other things in this life, I promise you, you're going to be happy. How many of you here, you've got problems at times, but you're happy? It's good to be a Christian, isn't it? It's just good. So the doctor said, man, you just think, the neurosurgeon, I'm not going to mention his name here, but he is very good. He said, well, do you really think we're going to put a therapist up there with you? We're going to put you through some ropes. And they sent a fellow up there. He was going to walk me into the ground. I walked him into the ground. I actually walked him until he said, could we just stop and talk for a while? I'm tired. I said, I'm still going, man. I'm still going. With the help of Jesus, I'm leaving this place. And I ain't never coming back. Well, it's been almost a year. And that's just the way it is. It's kind of like Frank Sinatra. Regrets, I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. You know what? Everybody gets knocked down a little bit. But who's the person that's going to get up and believe God? Those are the people I'm looking for. No, those are the people that God himself is looking for in this room tonight. Who will believe God instead of your circumstances? Who will stop worrying about tomorrow? Who will stop lamenting over the past? That stuff will kill you and shorten your life and make other relationships a mess. And sometimes you just got to cut people loose in your life. It's not pleasant. It's a hard message to preach. I'm just going to tap on it a little bit and move to the next point. But sometimes you just got to let people go, man, because they just ain't good for you. God didn't put them in your life. The devil did. God's got a person for you that needs a person. The devil has hundreds of people for you. If you live here, if you live and you go to a church like this and you listen to the promises of God, you'll get over that junk. You'll forget about the past and you'll let God take care of the future. And just today will be good enough. Today's enough. Now, let me just ask you, don't you think today is enough? Yeah. Today is enough for goodness sake. So, don't worry about the future. Philippians 1:6 says, he that began a good work in you will finish it if you'll let him. Don't quit Jesus. Quit the devil. Quit yourself. Try every day to be as much as... How many of you have a general idea what God is requiring of you? By the raising of your hand. Let me see. Most of you do. Okay. We've got a general idea what he wants. How many of you have a general idea what your weaknesses are? Amen. I don't have to talk any more about that because Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21 says this here. Many are the plans in a person's heart. But if you live for God, God's purpose for your life will come out. And I promise you, the only plans that's going to be remotely any good is the ones that's pretty close to what he wants you to do. Because there's things that we think will make us happy will ruin our lives. It's just sad. Sad, sad, sad. You know what? Lamentation says this. The Lord is new every morning. Now, we've only got a few minutes left, and you're not leaving here till I know what Tulane and Tricky's baby, they're having a gender party, and they live in California, 2 hours different than here. And at 6 o'clock California time, we're going to know if they're having a boy or a girl. And you are, lock the doors. You're not leaving till I know. Now let's take communion. It's open communion. Take it or don't take it. Do what you want. Just be happy. We're glad that you're here. This is different. I know it's different. It may take you a while before you want to take open communion. Man, I've been taking open communion for years and years and years. What we do first is what the Bible says. Let a person, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, examine themselves first, then take communion. And what do we examine ourselves for? Because if we'll take care of that stuff and confess it to the Lord, if we got a problem, stop acting like you don't have a problem. Tell God what your problem is. Give him a few details. Give him a chance in your life. Give the promises of God. And then we get up and we take it. And it's enough right now. Make an altar where you are. If you're going to take it. If you don't want to take it, don't take it. Or come up here with me.